General Motors on safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on safari.
In 1961, I spent a few weeks at Malindi on the Kenya coast. I stayed at the beautiful home of Kevin Masters, a retired white hunter. Kevin's a rich man, for, unlike many hunters, he saved the fruits of his labors. He invested his money and bought property. Kevin's days of being pleasant to Texas oil men and tracking animals with bullets in the wrong places are over. Kevin can't scratch his head with his left hand, for the arm cannot be raised more than a few inches above his waist. He flushed a lion out of the bush once for a 23-year-old German boy, and the youngster shot Kevin instead of the lion. Whilst I was staying with Masters, during sundowner, on a beautiful Malindi evening, I asked him what had become of his daughter, Chloe. His answer was another tumbler full of whiskey and the following story, one I've called Hendry the Hunter. When in England, the Masters lived on the Isle of Wight. They had a house at Cowes at the north of the island, where dukes and duchesses and princes and prime ministers sail yachts. There was only Kevin and his daughter Chloe at that time. June Masters had died just after the war, when the girl was about three. A man wanted to marry her, this girl with green eyes and red hair. They were in love, it seemed, but Masters watched over his daughter with the ferocity of an old buffalo. In the great book-lined study of the house on the Solent was a gun case. In it was a .577 rifle. It was loaded with one bullet. The old man swore that bullet was for Larry Hendry the next time he came asking for his daughter's hand in marriage. He was as touchy as a baboon with toothache, was Kevin Masters.
Larry, there's no point, darling, honestly. He'll never change his mind.
Yes, but why? What's he got against me?
Money.
Well, he's got plenty himself.
When he was our age, he had a gun with a broken stock, one change of clothes, and an insurance policy worth
27 guineas. I've heard it all before. Look, I can't help it. I was born in the Isle of Wight. It's not my fault, and I've never done anything, as he puts it. Everybody can't go shooting tigers and pulling leopards down from the trees by their tails. Oh, heck, what the devil does he want me to do?
I don't know.
Well, I'd better ask him then, once more.
All right. I'll wait for you out here by the pond.
You just said I shouldn't go and see him.
Well, you seem determined, aren't you?
You're putting me on trial too, aren't you?
No. If you want to go and see Dad, you'd better go.
I'm 22 and I've never been out of England. While you've been everywhere, you've shot big game.
A diker at 50 yards with a .303 isn't big game,
Larry. I don't even know what a diker is. Anyway, that's what you're thinking of me, isn't it? Larry done nothing, Hendry.
Oh, no, Larry, I don't mean... Oh, Larry, where are you going?
To see your dad. You stay here.
Kevin Masters sat in his study, as he did every evening at sundowner time, with a double whiskey that was really a treble, and dreamed about the bush and how soon he'd be back again.
Yes? Well, come in.
Mr. Masters, I'd like a word with you, sir.
You never seem to learn, do you, Mr. Hendry? Come in, then. But don't hover. Sit down.
Thank you.
A drink?
Thank you.
Where's Chloe?
In the garden.
I trust this will be to your liking, Mr. Hendry.
Mr. Masters.
Right?
Yes, please. Look, the thing is...
Try that.
Thanks. That's great.
You haven't tasted it yet.
It's fine, Mr. Masters. Look, why I wanted to see you...
Cigarette?
I don't smoke. Look, I must...
What do you think of me, Larry?
Think of you?
Yes, think of me.
Well, you're Chloe's father, and... Well, I mean, you've... Well, what do you mean?
I'm talking in English, aren't I? Yes, I think I am. I can't put it any other way. What do you think of me? Oh, come on, laddie, speak up.
I think you're pig-headed and foolish. You're prejudiced because I come from a... Well, a rich family, whereas you had a sweat for your money. You think I'm weak and useless because I've never shot a lion or done anything I can brag about. You're prejudiced and unfair and you're darn narrow-minded and I'm sick of the whole business. And if you don't watch out, you're going to lose your daughter anyway. What do you think you're playing at? This is 1958, not 1858. You're playing a heavy father and you're a big crashing bore.
Well done, Henry. Well, that's something anyway. You've got guts, you see, even if you do hide them under layers of indolence. Now, I'll tell you what I think of you. You're a twerp. You're a poor fish. You want to marry my daughter? Well, you do something. Do something worthwhile. Prove you're a man and you can have her with my blessing. She's 18 now. There's nothing you can do for another 3 years against my wishes. So you better try and do it with me. Now, go away. We leave for East Africa on the 4th of April next year. We won't be back in the Isle of Wight.
What do you want me to do?
I've just told you. Anything but loaf around here. Fishing and sailing and playing croaky in the parson's front lawn.
How the devil can I beat what you've done? I suppose whatever I do will have to include going to Africa, won't it?
Africa or something else. Someplace else where a man has to be a man.
All right, Mr. Masters. I'll do something, as you put it. But if you marry Chloe onto some vicar with glasses,
You seem to have a poor opinion of the girl you're wanting to marry. You'll what, anyway?
I'll shoot you.
You'll have to learn how first. Here, come here. I want to give you something. Now, this gun is half a century old. It's still better than some of the rubbish they turn out today. Here, take it. You might need it sometime. And there's one more thing. I'm writing you a check for £200. You'll leave England with that. Your fare will take more than half of it. I want you to give me your word that you'll take no other money with you. Neither will you write for any. Your word?
If you wish.
And don't forget the gun. Now, Larry. The African lion covers 100 yards in 4 seconds. That's a little better than your school record for the same distance. Remember that, won't you?
And that's how Larry Henry came to leave England. He flew to East Africa with 2 suitcases and the .577. At Nairobi Airport, an African called him Bwana and carried his suitcases through to customs. He was so astounded that he gave the man a traveller's cheque for £5. The cheque was sold for 2 East African shillings and was eventually thrown away. Larry Henry was in Africa. He had £53 and the .577 was confiscated by the customs authorities. 6 months passed, during which time the Englishman worked on the East African Standard newspaper, managed the Theka Road drive-in cinema, and saved £280. He then took out a hunting license and secured a job on a ranch at Elementaita, just over 100 miles from Nairobi.
I've saved some money, and I've got a hunting license. Although Ben, he's the farm manager here, says it's a waste of money because I can shoot stuff on the estate here for nothing. I hope to see you next year in Nairobi. I don't know what the devil I will have proved by then, if anything. It's raining cats and dogs here. All my love. Write soon, won't you? Larry. P.S. Ben has been losing some of his calves to a lion, and tomorrow we're going to have a look for it.
Kwenda kwa Simba! Kwenda kwa Simba! Mwana walila lalo
nchemini Tepo kisha mwane. Nelly had already seen the fat, lazy lions of Nairobi Game Park, but this promised to be more exciting. The lion, a male, had taken £600 worth of stock from Prospect Farm in under 2 years. They'd never managed to get anywhere near the animal. That day he was in the sisal, and there was no real way out.
Struth. Oh, ban you, swine. Yeah, tell me about Sisal. The blasted stuff's cut the ribbons. I'm bleeding like a stuck pig. What the devil is everyone? All right. Better push on, I suppose. Oh, this way.
Which way? There are no ways in a sisal plantation. Every direction is the same. Sisal and more sisal, waiting in spiked ambush for unschooled English legs and feet to blunder through. The Messiah and the Kikuyu had crashed through dressed in blankets, some of them less than that. Larry Henry already looked as if he'd been mauled by 100 lions. His legs streamed with blood. Nothing moved. The beaters were more than 3/4 of a mile away. Their cries couldn't be heard because what little wind there was blew with them away from Larry.
Oh! 100 million ready curses on you, Ben!
The wind blew away from Larry, towards where the beaters were, towards Jack Bowen and the second Land Rover. Bowen didn't smell the boy from the Isle of Wight, but the lion did. The lion lay 40 yards away, licking one great paw in which a sisal spine was deeply embedded.
Oh, never even brought a gun with me. That's a stupid part of it. What's the use of a panga against a lion? Oh, where the devil are they? Oh, shut up! Ben! Mwangi! Jack! Oh, it's hot. That's better. I'll go and get sunstroke now. This is a good way to get rid of an unwelcome suitor, Mr. Masters. You're probably in league with Ben Graham. Hello? Hello? Ben!
The lion was 20 yards away now. The animal knew the man was there, but it didn't move. It no longer licked at the wound in its paw, although it throbbed like a great engine every time the blood was pumped through the veins. The lion waited for the man to come.
Oh, Chloe, if you could see me now.
15 yards. 10.
So blasted thirsty. What's the time?
Henry screamed, pushed the double-edged panga out in front of him, and closed his eyes. The lion sprang, the knife went home between the ribs and into the heart of the beast. The knife was snatched from Henry's hands, breaking his right wrist. He was kicked in the face, scarring it badly. He was 2 months in hospital. Reporters turned up every day to learn his story. One English paper carried a very exaggerated account of his adventure. According to a man named Simmons, Larry Henry had stalked the lion for a week in the jungles of Kenya to win a wife. He had then rushed the lion and stabbed it to death. There had been no news from Chloe for more than a month. And then suddenly, Henry was no longer news, and he returned to Element Taita.
Hi, Jack. What's new?
Well, you're not as pretty as you were.
Yeah, well, it'll always be good for a story.
What are your plans?
I don't know. Stay here, I think. Ben will let me.
Look, I'm clearing off.
What, leaving Kenya?
No. I'm going up to Eldoret.
You're still working for Johnson's estate, then?
Yes, I'm taking over their place up there. Elliot's retiring. So look, why don't you have a word with Ben? Stay on here as under manager.
think I'd wear it. I mean, I've only been here for 5 minutes.
Well, I think you're getting the hang of things. I reckon you've got a good chance, if that's what you want, of course. But it's a bit of a waste of time to hang around here as a glorified houseboy. You'd better get your position straight.
Hmm. Yeah, thanks, Jack. I'll see Ben. Oh, where is he, by the way?
Gone to see the D.C. O'Riordan's out.
Who?
O'Riordan. He murdered that African over on Bayman's farm last year. He's been inside waiting for the trial. We've all got to look out for him. They think he's going to come back through Naivasha.
Well, they had him up at Fort Hall, didn't they?
Yes. Yes, they're watching his old house. His wife's still there. They think he might try and get back there. Anyway, I'm off. Say Jambo to Ben for me, and I'm leaving for Eldoret this afternoon. Oh, how's the wrist, by the way?
Oh, fine.
Okay, be seeing you, Larry. Don't forget what I told you about the job.
Right, Larry. They agree in that, Abbott?
Oh, terrific.
Now, look, you've been up to Thompson's Falls, haven't you?
Yeah, I went with Jack.
I'm sending you up to see Clark. Ian Clark. He's the DC up there. I've got an idea about O'Riordan. Oh, by the way, I'd forgotten. What happened about the girl?
Girl?
Oh, the one in England.
Oh, well, I haven't heard for a couple of months. It's her place to write now. I've sent 3 letters. Anyway, I've got other things to think about now, haven't I?
George O'Riordan had been an accountant. He had shot an African houseboy for, apparently, the mild crime of throwing stones at his dog. The case caused quite a stir at the time, before other news, the drought, crop failure, the possible release of Jomo Kenyatta and such like, made the people of Kenya forget about the Irishman, who was to become one of the first white men sentenced to death for the murder of a non-white in Kenya colony. Ben had an idea about O'Riordan. It was this. 2 miles from Thompson's Falls was a disused hunting shack. It had belonged to O'Riordan. The police had made it clear that they expected the cooperation of the farmers to bring about the recapture of the man, although, until the near killing of his guard on the escarpment after the accident, the sympathy had not been entirely against O'Riordan. Ben reckoned the fugitive would make for that shack and hide up there whilst biding time to get out of the country. Larry travelled to Thompson's Falls, saw the DC, and then went to the shack. His first safari had had a strange ending. His second, even stranger. He spent 2 days waiting, hidden within a short distance of the little wood and tin building. No one came. Larry began to tire. His vigil was rewarded on the second night.
Watch tonight, sleep tomorrow morning, then back to Clark. Drive back to Prospect Farm, and... What was that? Yes. Something's there, all right. Unless it's something four-legged. Okay, chum. Let's have a look at you. At least I've got more than a panga this time. O'Riordan! Don't move. Don't move, O'Riordan!
Who are you? What are you doing here? This is my property.
Sit down. No. Over here. You're coming back with me. We can't leave now.
Leave? Where for?
I'm taking you to the D.C.
Why?
You know why.
Look, I think there's a mistake. I just come up here...
No, O'Riordan! Sit down! Don't take another step over here, because I shall shoot you. I know who you are. I was sent up here to find you.
You wouldn't be a policeman, would you?
No.
No. You don't look like a policeman. What's your name? All right. I'll sit down if it'll please you. What are you planning to do now?
Take it to Ian Clark, like I said.
Oh, I see. Do you think this is your business, then? What did you say your name was?
Larry Hendry.
Yeah. Are you going to handcuff me or something?
No. I'm not coming anywhere near you. I'm going to sit here till it's light. And then you're going to come down to Thompson's Falls. Then you're not my shari anymore.
Larry Hendry, Weren't you the one that killed the lion with his hands that time? I remember reading about it. I was in prison at the time, you know.
A lion killed itself on my knife. It all depends which report you read. Some of them made a bit too much of it.
Ah, but a brave one.
What?
Oh, you're the brave one, all right.
You must know I was scared stiff. What are you doing?
I'm going to the window, that's all.
What for?
Well, to open it, of course.
Well, sit down. You'll let the mosquitoes in.
There's no mosquitoes here, Larry. It's too high. And if there was, sure aren't there enough holes in the roof and walls for them? You haven't been here long, have you?
Not quite a year.
And you wouldn't have heard about me, would you? What did they tell you about me?
That you've been convicted of murder. That you killed a man for throwing stones at your dog.
That's right. But you know what he called me, do you?
No, look. Don't keep bobbing up and down. I don't trust you.
He said I was Irish trash. Well, you hear that, then? You imagine this boy who comes along, looks at me house, calls to me inside and says, when's the poana going to be moving out? When's the poana going to be moving out, indeed? Why, says I, because I'm saving up to buy it all when you've got no money left, says he. I shouts to him then, tells him to get out. And sure enough, he doesn't move. Just stands as severe in the place as if he's got a purse that was bursting with money for the buying of the place there and then. Get out, I says. Irish trash, says he. I suppose he must have heard the gentlefolk call me that behind me back. You know, I come to think of it. It was them I should have shot, not him. For the word was theirs, not his, poor fellow. Anyway, Irish trash, he says. And then says, I don't want your dog. You can keep that. And then he throws a stone at it. So I shot him.
You're mad.
And they put me away for that. They should have put the others away. The ones that fiddle their taxes and they looked at me with a crooked eye saying, my dear, he's not our sort. And calling me names where the servants could hear. The cheek.
All right, old Red. No, just pack it in, will you? Just be quiet, will you?
When I'm out on the air. When me money's gone, he was going to buy the place and farm a bit. Well, he's farming all right now. Here, but it wasn't his fault. It was the others who called me the Dublin market boy. Will you have a game of dice with me, Larry?
Dice?
It's a while away the time. It's a while away the long grey hours till the morning comes. And you take old Reardon down and deliver him to the hangman. And then you'll go back to Nairobi town whilst they're having a wake for me in Cromlin in Tomlin town. Will you do that, lad?
Shut up!
Oh, but come on. You can keep a hand on your gun there. And with the other hand, you can rattle the dice. Come on now, give me a hand.
I'm not going to play.
Give me a hand.
We're just going to sit here.
Come on, boy. Oh, give me a hand.
Will you shut up, O'Reardon?
I reckon you'd be good at that, Toyce. A boy like
you. Stay where you are, O'Reardon.
A boy like you who can kill a lion and get his picture in the papers. In England, too. Would you be afraid?
O'Reardon, look, will you stop talking? Look, please stop talking.
It's going to be a long night, boy.
That's all right with me. Look, just you keep quiet, will you? Keep quiet!
There's grime on the windows and muck on the lawn. We rue the day that we were born. But when they caught us and put us inside, the Archbishop with fright, he upped and he died.
Enough, O'Reardon.
There's mice in the wainscot. There's fog in the cell. But there's no digs in Dublin like Mountjoy Hotel.
O'Reardon, I don't want you to sing. I don't want you to make any noise, see?
The pale moon was rising, crass Kinnear's fair land, but dear Mother McCree weren't in charge of the band.
O'Reardon!
She got all the water. She was traveling
by
back.
By heaven, I'll shoot you, O'Reardon!
Because the boils in green had been given the sack.
O'Reardon!
Larry, you shot me.
Reardon. Why? You stupid idiot.
Thank you. Hi, Ben.
The clerk phoned me. I'm sorry, I should have sent someone up there with you.
That's okay. Everything would have been fine if he hadn't... Yeah, well, I'll tell you about it. I think I want to sleep now. Sleep for a long time.
Sorry, Larry. I can't let you.
Oh, look, Ben, I'm dead tired.
Sorry, Larry. There's someone here I want you to show over the phone.
Oh, but heck, Ben!
She's just out from England. She's looking for a chap she once knew in Cowes. Said something about marrying him. Anyway, you'd better find out yourself. It's not my pigeon.
You mean... Chloe? Ben, where is she?
She's down at the bottom, Boma. Wangi's showing her the stock. Hey, you better hurry, Larry. Wangi's taken quite a shine to her. Reckon she ought to marry me.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushbelt. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.